Barbarian Tribes of Rome, Germanic Religion, Part 4, Mythological Hints. Now, German mythology is full of hints of reality of past practices and beliefs, from Sleeping Beauty to the fantastical figures of the carnivals, from popular superstitions to surviving and little understood cult practices. The woods were filled with spirits, and the fountains, and the streams also. The caves of the earth were with strange dwarfs. Fire in the mists of the sea and the moor were peopled with phantasms. These little people owed their origin not to the bright light of life-giving sun, but to the cult of the dead, the cult of the ancestors, and to the peopling of the forest of the forces of nature with animistic models of humankind. They were not invented in modern times. They are and were survivals. They were particularly common in more out-of-the-way and devious lanes of Germanic ways of thought, which is the reason why so much was made of them by the more mystery-loving of the Romantic poets. They're survivals from the Iron Age, survivals from the Bronze Age. The Kievik stone may be interpreted in the light of the above remarks. In the top row there on the right, there are three male figures, two of whom appear to be making appropriate music with Bronze Age musical instruments, the lauren. The other is holding up his hands in attitude of adoration. A female figure stands before a horseshoe half moon, the symbol of the labyrinth, which is also the symbol of the place of sacrifice to the mysterious underground divinity. Within the half-moon symbol stand two more figures, one certainly a male, the other probably female, on each side of a symbol of the double axe. It seems clear that we have here a pictorial representation of a ritual marriage of the Earth Mother and her consort. In the second row, there are masked figures on either side of a large vessel, obviously a container for the blood of the sacrifice. Below again are two groups of four in front of two symbols of the half-moon labyrinth mystery of the underworld. The two groups is about to enter the unknown, from which there is no return. If this is regarded as fantasy and exaggeration, the skeptic should read the descriptions of the rites pertaining to the Cretan Minos and the mysteries of the religions of the Near East with their esoteric rituals, their sacrifices, and orgiastic rites. These mystery religions of the Near East did not derive their particular rites from the worship of the sun, but from the worship of the Great Mother, which permeates all of them in spite of an overcast of the sun's worship. This is the Dionysian element in the religion of the Greeks. It is also present in the Germanic, and for the same reason. It appears in many of the religious beliefs of the Viking Age. Freya, for example. Freya, her brother, but formerly the consort, would be annually sacrificed in many of the attributes of Woden and Thor, which seem to be out of place as part of the worship of the sun. There are other traits in the religious belief of the Viking Age which seems to have been survivals of the worship of the Great Mother, the Great Tree, the Yggdrasil, which plays such an important role in the religious concepts of this period, can quite easily have been a development of the concept of the Tree of Life, a partly poetic, partly philosophical development of the idea, no doubt, but nonetheless a renaissance of an idea from a submerged religion. Wotan's self-immolation on the cross in order to win the secrets of the universe shows a mixture of traits from both religious beliefs. The cross is the symbol of the sun wheel originally, the wheel standing as a symbol of the sun wagon of which it is part. The cross can be regarded as the symbol of the Tree of Life. This and the immolation suggest the Magna Mater cult. Many disguises in which Wotan wanders around on the face of the earth and parades of mummified figures are suggestive of the mystery religions. Thor, too, performs many deeds which have a much closer relationship with the Great Mother belief than the worship of the sun. For example, his possession of a double axe, his close contact with the things of the earth, his wooing Idun with her strength-renewing apples, without which the gods would waste away, belong to the fertility cult, as does the taking of an oath from all living things not to harm the peace-loving Baldur. Freya and Frigg of the Edda, still remembered in the name of the sixth day of the week, and whose very name originally meant love, belonged to the same submerged cult until her status was changed and became the wife of the All-Father, the Sky God. Late Northern tradition, that is, the tradition of the Eddic poems, speaks of a struggle between two groups of divinities, the Vani and the Asi. In this tradition, the Asi were regarded as intruders from the southeast, which has led to some rather futile speculation about their derivation from Asia, along with an Indo-European and Germanic Iron Age migration from somewhere in the depths of that little-known continental area. The Vani, on the other hand, were native deities. Finally, a compromise is arranged between the two struggling forces, and an assimilation takes place. The highest deities of the Vani join the Asi. This ancient tradition supports the interpretation given in the past series of paragraphs. Now we need to look at what we would refer to as written evidence of this development of the German religion, which is what we will do next. Now, the source for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment. Check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.